God. Spirit of the living God, thank you for speaking to your servant this morning. Father, I ask you to heal and deliver and set the captive free. Until we meet again, I love you, and Jesus does too. God bless you. Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevel of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevel or to send a love offering, go to $ShalondaNobles. That's $ShalondaNobles. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
1 Kings chapter 19, we're just going to read a few verses, but we're going to kind of parade and peruse throughout the 19th chapter from like verse 1 to verse 19. So we just, you know, keep that in mind while I'm preaching, but we're going to read verse 11, 12, and verse number 13. Amen. 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 So let's read verse 11. If you have it, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. And he said, go forth. Well, that's good. Well, let's do it together then. I like that. Y'all ready? Verse 11. Read. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, it happened, wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came unto him a what doest thou here, Elijah? Amen. Amen. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? I want to use that particular part of the text to give you my thought this morning. And I want you to know today God is concerned about you. Amen. But I want to use for a thought this morning, what are you doing here? Amen. What are you doing here? Amen. We, from that thought, want you to know that God is looking at where you are, and he knows what you're doing, and he knows what is going on. Amen. So, in life, we sometimes end up in places that we may not want to be in. We end up in places sometimes that we feel comfortable being in, but God does not intend for us to be in those places. Now, sometimes it can be physical places, and we make our abode there because sometimes life deals us a hand and we say, well, this is what I got to do. And you know you got to do what you got to do. And sometimes we end up in places spiritually that sometimes leads us to places physically that we get into that God had no intention of us getting into from the beginning. Amen. In this case, Elijah, who was a prophet of God, just to let us know, God, let this scripture be known, to let us know that even the best, even the most powerful, even the most prolific and prophetic of us get into a place where we get down. Will we sometimes be disappointed? Will we sometimes be distressed and even depressed? He lets us know that we get to a place of sometime instability. But in that, God does not intend for us to stay in an unstable place. He does not intend for us to stay in an unstable environment. I don't care how comfortable you can become, because we can become comfortable in a roller coaster of a relationship. We can become comfortable in a roller coaster of life that we, you know, well, we just expect. Once we get up, oh, something bad's about to happen, so we might as well get ready. Can't be nothing good coming out of something good happening. We always got to look for something bad to happen right after that. That's how we program ourselves. But God does not want us always to be in an unstable way, because you know what we say? And this is how we say it. We say, well, oh, this happening good, boy. You know the devil finna attack now. You know, so what if he does? God has a hedge about us. Oh, Lord, y'all gonna make it hard for me to preach this morning, but I'm gonna preach anyway. So the story goes, and I'm gonna try to be narrative in a way, because this is how, you know, I have to do it to get the point across. And so the story goes that Elijah, whose name means Jehovah is God, so his name actually gave a meaning that God was who Jehovah was God, and not Baal and not somebody else who the children of Israel had begun to serve. And so Elijah on Mount Carmel, he had a showdown with some of the false prophets and some of the people who had gained some prestige in the community. And he challenged the people. He said, if Baal be God, serve him. But if God be God, serve him. And so they went through a bit of a contest to see who God really was. And he said, the God that answers by fire, he said, let him be God. And Baal didn't answer by fire. They cried all day and cut themselves, and Elijah made fun of them and said, well, maybe he's on vacation, maybe he's asleep or whatever. They never did get their God to answer, but Elijah, he made it very hard for his God to answer, because he took what precious commodity they had during the famine and water, and he took a bullock and he rebuilt an old altar that they had torn down, and he poured water on it, and he prayed, and God answered by fire and licked up the sacrifice and the water and everything that was around it. That lets us know that God wants everything. He doesn't want just part of it. Amen. So when you go to the altar, God wants it all. Amen. Well, and so after this, Elijah thought he did a good thing by getting the people to come back to God. And then he decided, well, you know what? We can't let this adultery live. We got to kill it. And sometimes we let this stuff live and we make excuses for it and we hide it in our heart, our adulterous ways. Come on and say amen. And he said, we can't let this live. So he slayed all the prophets of Baal. He killed them all by the sword. And we got to see something here. He had sense enough to know that if I let them live, they will continue to teach their idolatry and people will go back to worshiping Baal rather than worshiping God, because they had, see, the thing about those priests of Baal, they had entertainment down pat. They had somebody that was supposed to be in the cave lighting the fire so the fire would just blaze up on their altar. But God let that joker maybe have a heart attack or whatever he did. He got stuck in the hole and the fire never came. See, they were the masters of gimmicks and entertainment. And guess what? We got the prophets of Baal right here today. Y'all don't hear me now. Yeah, we do, because they want to entertain you, and we see it on television, the preachers and the preachesses or whatever, the prophetesses. We see them on television, and we are entertained by them, but they don't give us what is real. They are entertained. They have gimmicks and stuff like that. Those are the same prophets of Baal today, and we got to kill that. Okay, let me go on. Y'all, that's another message, another time. And so after this, he killed them. And guess what? Jezebel, if you go back to, well, let's ride back to verse number 1. And Ahab told Jezebel what happened. And so Jezebel got mad. And she said, let me send him a message. Now, this is funny, because at certain times, they couldn't even find Elijah. They couldn't find him if they looked for him all day. He had to want to be found in order for them to find him. But isn't it something how the devil can get a word to you? Even if he don't know. Look, let me tell you something. Somebody came up to me one day and they said, man, I've been holding this on my phone for about 2 months. I've been looking for you. I hadn't seen you. And so he said, let me play this for you. He pressed play on his phone. And it was another preacher that's just running me down talking about me. I said, ain't that something? How they get the message to you? So look at Elijah. Elijah, the message came to him, they found him, and gave him the message that Jezebel said, you're going to die. Let me read it to you. Jezebel sent the message to Elijah saying, so let the God do to me and more if I don't make your life like one of them by tomorrow this time. The devil will come to you and tell you what he's going to do to you. And then it's up to you to stand in stability or to run in fright and fear. Do you know that Satan cannot do anything to you that God had not already said that will try and see? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Verse 3 says, now, here's what happens. Now, Satan can say whatever he wants to say about you. Satan can say whatever he wants to you. But it's up to you to remain what? Stable. And so what happened here, look at verse 3. He said, when he saw that, he arose. Now, look, let me stop right there. When he saw that, it's something about what you see. I don't care what the devil say. But if you see what he's saying, you know, you're talking to somebody, say, I see what you're saying. If you start to see what he's saying, then there's a problem. Because you shouldn't be seeing what the devil says. You should be seeing what God says. We walk by faith and not by sight. So first, we can't afford to envision what the devil's saying. We have to envision what God has said. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He said when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Do you know that Elijah's life belonged to God? Here he was against 450 prophets, and his life was at stake then, and he wasn't afraid. But one little woman that sent a message, one devilish woman sent him a message, and he got afraid. We talk about Jezebel and the spirit of Jezebel. It ain't about makeup. It ain't about fingernail polish and how they dress. It's about the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of control, the spirit that wants to destroy, the spirit that try to abuse and misuse. I'm not going to get into her so much, but we see here that he took off and he ran, and he said, he ran in verse 3, and he went to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and he left his servant there. Look at this. He didn't want to jeopardize his servant getting hurt in the midst of this. So he left him at Beersheba, which means the place of the vow. He left him at the place of the covenant. He left him there, and he said, let me go, and I'm going to leave you here. And he said, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Look at this. Because of something somebody said, it rocked him and made him unstable. How many times in our life, because of what somebody say, it rocks us. It makes us unstable. It gets us angry. It gets us emotional. Come on and say amen. What the doctors say can rock us. What the people say can rock us. What the street committee say. Y'all with me? Y'all woke this morning? Can rock us. So he envisioned this. He began to see it himself. He can see himself dying at the hands of Jezebel when nobody else could kill him. Wait, no. The famine couldn't even kill this man. Look at that. He was in a famine, and God allowed him to live in a wilderness place. He allowed him to be fed of ravens. He allowed him to be watered when nobody else had water. And when it dried up, he sent him somewhere else, huh? God did this for the man. Lord, help me today. But one little lady with a big mouth made him so fearful that he went into the wilderness and he wished to die. He got to a place of depression. His distress led to depression. He went by himself and it got worse. And that's why it's important for us to be in the numbers. Safety in the multitude. It's important for us to be paired up, because when we pray the prayer of agreement, God answers. It's important for us to be paired up, because he said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, I'm God in the midst. Lord, help me today. Help me, God. And so they went. He went to sit up under this juniper tree. This tree was about maybe 10 foot tall. It cast a shadow for him to be able to rest. He went up under the juniper tree and he said, I want to die. And verse 4 said, and he said, it is enough now. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He said, Lord, I've had enough. Have you ever said, Lord, I had enough? Have you ever said, enough is enough? He said, I'm not better than my fathers. He said, Lord, you take my life. You see, Elijah, some people say that he was suicidal. No, he wasn't suicidal, because he didn't want to take his own life. He said, Lord, you take me. Amen. He said, Lord, you take me. And he remained. If he wanted to kill himself, you know, some people, oh, he was suicidal to try to make it all real and becomes like a psychiatrist to you. He said, Lord, I want you to take my life. I'm no better than my father's. And he lay and slept under the juniper tree. So what was he saying? Lord, I'm going to fall asleep and let me just wake up in heaven. I'm tired of what's going on right now, and I need you to just take me out of this. How many times have we said, Lord, just take me out of a situation? How many times have we got so depressed and so down that all we wanted to do was be alone and sleep? Help me, Holy Ghost. How many times that that's all we want to do? We found us a place to rest. We found somewhere to get shaded so that we can get a little bit of rest. And look at this. He says now in verse 5, and he lay and slept under the juniper tree. But then an angel touched him, and he said unto him, arise and eat. He went out there without any food. He went out there hoping that he would die. He didn't take any food, hoping that the Lord would just take him. His mission was to go die. But God had another plan for him. And we need to know that sometimes your mission may not be what God wants for your life. So you have to come to the acceptance that at some point God will send an angel. In this case, he sent an angel in blue and silver this morning to let you know that you need to get up and eat. A messenger. That's all I'm saying. I'm not talking about a winged angel. I'm just a messenger to you that we need to get up. I came to touch your life this morning and tell you arise and eat. And look, he woke up. How am I going to eat? I didn't bring anything out here. How am I going to eat? I didn't bring anything to eat, to cook. I haven't killed anything. I hadn't found nothing. But then he looked. Verse 6, he looked and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals. Do you know the Lord will prepare it for you already? You don't have to do it yourself. Do you know that God already gave somebody something to bless you with? You wondering how it's going to work out. You trying to figure it out, but God has already worked it out. Do I have anybody here that say, I've been down in the dumps preaching. I know what you're talking about, but I'm waiting on you to give me something to eat. And I came to give you this word to eat on this morning. I came to give you this word, the water of the word to drink on this morning. Look at what it says in verse 6. He said that he had a cake baked on some coals, and he had a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and lay down again. This is what happened. He had a cruse of water at his head. That was to refresh him. He had some. He had a cake baked on some coals. That was to strengthen him. And so what am I saying? That the messenger ought to bring you a word that refreshes you. The messenger ought to bring you a word that strengthens you. I wish I had somebody here. But look, even with the strength from the word and the refreshment from the water, it did not move him from his position of wanting to just stay under the juniper tree and sleep. I feel that. Come on and say amen. Because sometimes I can preach and I feel good about what God is saying, and sometimes people don't want to move from where they are, like we're doing this morning. Some of us don't want to move from the juniper tree and realize God has sent you a word to strengthen you. Some of us don't want to be refreshed and not realize God has given you the spirit to refresh you, to let you know this word that he's given you this morning, that you are on his mind, that he wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to pick you up from up under the juniper tree. He wants to wake you. I came to touch you. I came to shake you. Tell your neighbor, wake up. God has prepared something for you, and you need to accept what God has for you. He didn't just deflect it. He went on and accepted it, but he still didn't move. Sometimes we can get a word from the Lord, and it don't move us like it needs to move us. Sometimes we can get a word from the Lord, and it doesn't make us want to go off and do what we're supposed to be doing. Elijah was a prophet to the nations. He shouldn't have been under the juniper tree. This was a time right now for him to be back preaching, because he just got the people to repent. But instead of him going preach to them, he ran off and left them. And what else would a people do except go back into idolatry? Because where's the preacher that's brought us here? Where's the one that gave us the word? Where's the one that helped us to recognize that God is God? He's not here, so we might as well go back. Oh, come on and say amen. Do you know that it hadn't rained in 3.5 years, and here it was, the rain coming. It hadn't done anything. Come on and say amen. It was famine time. It hadn't done anything. And the Bible says, look at this. The Bible says that he laid down again. But verse 7, look at what verse 7 says. God will not just leave you alone. How many know that you can keep on trying to do what you want to do, but God's going to keep on reminding you to do what he said to do? Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him. So we understand that what we got to envision is what God wants us to see. But then the encounter, we can't ignore the encounter with God. We can't ignore the encounter with the word. We can't ignore it, because the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. I don't care where you are in life. Do you know that God knows where you are? Elijah was in the wilderness. He went a day's journey in the wilderness, but the Lord sent an angel to him, a messenger, to let him know that I know where you are, son. Oh, come on and say amen. And he touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. We need to understand something. When God is trying to give us a word, you need to go ahead and eat that word. Go ahead and receive that word, because we don't know what the journey might bring. We don't know what's ahead of us. And so we can't make it all by ourselves. And God is saying, you can't make it all by yourself. He said, but I'm giving you something to carry you through the journey. Do you know life is a journey? And then this life that we live in is a journey. And so we got to have the word of God. We have to encounter the messenger and the message of God. I wish I had somebody. He said, the journey is too great for you to handle all by yourself, but you need to learn how to handle the journey through the word of God. And so he, guess what he did? He obeyed the messenger. He arose in verse 8, and he did eat and drink. And he went and on the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights under her up. In other words, that's the Sinai Mountains and the Mount of God. And so guess what happened here? Now, he ate the food and he drank the water, and it was enough to carry him for 40 days. I wish I had somebody. I don't know about you, but you might need to get this word this morning, because it may take you for 40 days. You may need to get this down in your spirit, because I don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks that God is trying to tell somebody to wake up and get from up underneath the tree. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. And it says in verse 9, and he came thither into a cave. Now, here's Elijah. Now, God just got you from up under the tree. He just gave you enough food to carry you for 40 days, and now you're looking for somewhere else to go hide out. Come on and say amen. God has given you a word, and you won't go and take that word to people. You won't go love them. You won't go help them. You won't forgive them. You go right back to your place of hiding. Amen. He said in verse 9, and he came to the cave, and he lodged there. He stayed there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? We need to understand something, that God, he's sending encouragement to us. We envision the bad. We envision the worst. We encountered the angel, the messenger of God, with the message, and we partook in what he had. But then we need some more encouragement, and here it comes. He says, the word of the Lord came to him this time. It wasn't just a message. It was the man himself, Jesus Christ. He said the word of the Lord came. And how do you know it was Jesus? Let's read a little further. And he said in verse 10. Now he said the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. And verse 10 says, and he said. And so who is the word? The Bible says in John chapter 1 that the word in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. In the beginning, he made everything. Nothing that was made was not made without the what? Word of God. So who is the word? Jesus said, I am the word. He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, he came to him. And look at what it says in verse 10. I have been very jealous for the Lord. He came in verse 9 and he said, I've been jealous for the Lord. And look at this. He said, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altar, slain the prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Lord have mercy. He begins to complain because there's ministry to do. He began to complain because, you know, we want to minister. We want to do the work of the Lord, but we complain because there's work to do. Lord, it's just me trying to do this. Well, you've been praying, God, give me something to do. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. He said, I've been jealous for you, Lord. The children, other folks ain't doing what they're supposed to do. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm the only one left, and I don't even want to stay. Ain't that something? And that's just like us. We want God to use us, but when God began to use us, now Elijah had just saw the power of God. He was so confident in the chapter before. He was so powerful in the chapter before. But all of a sudden now, he don't want to be powerful anymore. He don't want to be used of God anymore. Isn't that something, that one chapter you can be powerful and the next chapter you can be a peon? That's how it is in our life. We can see God move so powerfully in our life one day, and the next day we don't feel so powerful. We can see God do some anointed stuff in our life one day and bless our life. We know God is with us. We know he's on our side. We know he's doing what we ask him to do. But then the next day we feel like we ain't even saved. Am I preaching to anybody? Y'all let me know. I'm preaching to me then. And some, so he said, Lord, I'm the only one. But then he said, who is he? The word of the Lord spoke, verse 11. And he said, go forth and stand on the mountain. In other words, God does not use people to just laying around doing nothing. You got to be moving for the Lord. And while he was laying under the tree, God said, move. When he went in the cave, God came and told him, now, move. He said, come out of the cave. Go to the mouth of the cave. Look at what he says. And stand before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great wind. Now, we got to understand something here. God passes by. God knows exactly where we are. And the Lord passed by. But Elijah was stationary, just standing there waiting. And the Lord passed right on by. Oh, come on and say amen. And we hollering, do not pass me by. But God just gave you some instructions to come out of the cave. I wish I had somebody. He wrapped his mantle around his head. He's the Bible says, and he went. He said, "Go forth, stand in the mouth on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, the earthquake. And the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, the fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, still small voice. And look at what happens. God was not in all the dramatics. I know we like dramatics. I know we like to put on, you know, a good show. But God was not in the wind that blew. He was not in the earthquake that shook. Oh, come on and say amen. He was not in the fire that burned. But God was, it was a still small voice. It was something that we didn't expect. And sometimes God will speak to you in a still small voice. We're looking for God to show us a sign by the wind blowing. Lord, blow me this way. We're looking for God to shake some things up. And ain't no shaking going on. We're looking for God to burn something, burn with the fire. And God is not burning with the fire. What happens when God doesn't give you the dramatic? Can you still believe that God is there? What happens when God doesn't do anything that grabs your attention with your physical eye? Can you have faith with your spiritual eye that God is there? Oh, Lord, have mercy. After the earthquake, the fire, and there was still a still small voice, and it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. Now, his mantle represented the anointing of God. He had the mantle with him the whole time. Why didn't he wrap his face in the mantle before this? He had the anointing. What does the anointing do? The anointing destroys.